Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. He is in a good spiritual mood for our studying of the Word. Okay, let's open the Bibles, if you will. Gospel of John, chapter 16. I'm just having a wonderful personal time in the study for this study, this class, and seeing things and grasping some things and dealing with prayer, and got a dimension of faith I'm going to add Sunday morning, that just another way of wording some things about faith that I've not seen expressed this way, or I've never expressed it, and it's so much fun to study something all your life and realize you're just touching surface. You're not even beginning to really grit into it. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, first of all, people, we must be doing something right. This assembly is under a lot of siege. We've got Thomas, Rick, and Terry with Thomas's blood cancer - leukemia. He'll have the last chemo treatment Saturday morning. They do two treatments a day, one at 4 in the morning, one at 4 in the afternoon. He will have the last treatment Saturday morning at 4. And so far, he's just doing really well. Went up to see him today, and he just smiled and just having a nice time. And Otters is not having a nice time. That was not true. But he's not heavy. He's not heavy laden, and he's not ill in his presentation there. But it's just imagine the strain and stress on Rick and Terry. Rick went to work for the first time in the week yesterday, and so we just need to be in prayer for Rick and Terry and all that's going on with them, with their son in this trauma. But as I was saying, this assembly, we're just under a lot of siege, and I'm kind of taken with it right now. And then we've got Anel, good to see you here tonight, but that doesn't mean we're not going to pray. I continue to be in prayer. Anel, at one point your blood pressure was 240. Is that correct? Wow.
Over 112.
Man, ooh, that's. Mine ever was 240. I think I'll just lay down and die here and call it even.
Call it a day.
my heart's done more than the last whatever long it's been doing 212 for a long time. So. But we'll be in prayer for now. And just others are having various battles that they're going through right now. Yes?
We need to put Sharon on the prayer list.
Sharon, definitely. I'm glad you mentioned Sharon. She's under a lot of struggle and pressure right now. We need to be in prayer for Sharon. Go ahead.
Well, her liver numbers have been affected now and are going up. And this anorexia has really taken hold, so we really need to think about her as well and lift her up.
I dealt with anorexia in the SAD series in there, a certain section. We definitely need to be in prayer for Sharon. So we just need to be in prayer for each other, because we're all, people are having battles that they don't, for whatever reasons, not want to let the assembly know. But that's one of the reasons for the assembly, one of the enjoyments of studying 1 Corinthians. Romans is a book on theology, doctrines. I mean, we've seen that. It just Romans chapter 3 was just filled with them. And Romans 4, Romans 5, Romans 1. But 1 Corinthians is not going to be so much on the area of theology and doctrine. It's going to be the problems of the local assembly in Corinth. And boy, they had every kind of makeup you could imagine in there. And so we'll be able to move a little bit in Corinthians, I hope. and cover a mass amount of material. So maybe there's a correlation with all of these things, but let's just be in prayer for each other. Be in prayer for these we know about, and then others that we don't know about. But God knows, and they know, and things like that. So we need to be in prayer. I'm so oriented to prayer anyway, since I was a child, but this study in John 16 has really opened up a lot of things in regard to prayer that I'd not seen before. So let's be in prayer for each other. But right now, let's begin our study in Gospel of John 16, and we're in verse 26, and we're moving toward the end, or 33 verses, and then we go into the Lord's Prayer, which is so powerful. It just starts off, Father, and we're going to talk about that. That kind of thinking is what one of the reasons that the Pharisees and scribes used for crucifying him. Was he dared to make God his father, that intimate relationship. So we're going to spend some time in that area. But let's begin with the word of prayer, orient ourselves to our study in this great study, the few words that Jesus Christ taught before the crucifixion. Let's pray. Compassionate Father, it is our privilege to come before you in prayer. What a privilege we have. Now, man has prayed to you since the beginning of time, but never his Father. We get to come directly to you as our Heavenly Father. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things in regard to the power that's at our fingertips or right here in our mouth to pray to you. So Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to these things and take us on this journey that you would have us to see. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, John 16, verse 26, where we left off last week. And I'm getting more and more frustrated Wednesday night, Sunday morning, both Sunday mornings, when this thing here says time to stop. I hate this thing. And Sunday morning, I just did not want to stop, and just want to keep talking about it. So my wife has to hear more when we're driving home, and so it just. But it's just so much. To grasp and to see in the truth of his word, and I talked today with a man that's a writer of books on dealing with how he is so opposed to Christian counseling, and it's an organization. If you ever want to go on the internet, www.psychoheresy. And psychoheresy is where you have the Bible, and then you take what we'll call human viewpoint, human understanding, human philosophy, human psychology, and what you end up with is psychoheresy. And it's a tremendous website. When I talked to the author of some of the books there, and they're just a lot of churches today across the country are not. Devoted just to this word. They don't think the Bible is sufficient to handle all of our problems. You got to go to extra biblical. And so we had a nice talk. Okay, let's take a look at verse 26 now. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. All right, now, so last week we took up a look. And once again, you will ask, and subject there is you, the believer, will ask God the Father in my name. And then he says, I will request the Father on your behalf. Now, where you will ask is a Greek word, aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. You will ask. And that's an inferior to a superior person. We, inferior creature, to the Creator, God. And then when it says, I will request of the Father, and so the NASB uses two different words, you will ask, in my name, and I will request the Father. So this word is erotao, E-R-O-T-A-O, and that's more familiar friends on a more equal basis. So Jesus Christ talks straight leveled with God the Father. We talk from a inferior to a superior creature. And so we took up some closing points last week. I think we took up five, and we ended up looking at Ephesians 6:18, Romans 8:26, Jude 1:20. And so now let's take up some points on prayer. Point one. Pray at all times, or every time you pray, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we ended up with last week was the dimension that Christ did not deal with, but is given to us in the epistles to the church. In Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And then in Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also makes, helps our weaknesses and intercedes for us. Then Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So the phrase in the Spirit in both Ephesians 6:18 and Jude 20 have the same preposition. In plus the dative. In plus the Spirit. So it means by means of the Spirit. In the power. In the leading of the Holy Spirit. So this is what we're taking a look at in bringing a few summary points in this vital issue of prayer. Point one. Pray at all times, or in every time you do pray, pray in the power of the leading of the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many of us do that on the quick prayers. And oh God help, when we almost have a wreck. And or just thank you for this food. And just simple things. Are you conscious of the work of the Holy Spirit in regard to the prayer? All right, point two. If you desire your prayers to reach God the Father, if you desire your prayers to be in accordance with His will, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. If you desire your prayer to be heard, and you want to pray in accordance with His will, then you want to pray in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. A lot of different people come up with all the different reasons why prayers are not heard. Many prayers are not heard. Some people tell you all prayers are heard. Many prayers are not heard. They don't get higher than the ceiling. I like to word it. But so when we talk about hearing so as to answer, so as to interact in our lives. And if you want to pray so that you're, it's got to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I could list some things under that, like it must be in accordance with God's will, it must be in accordance with the truth of the Word, all of these things. But if you're in the power of the Spirit, He will lead you in all of these things. He will lead you in your study of the Word so that you'll know what you're praying. Now, point three, when you pray, be alert for intrusion from the world, the flesh, and the devil. These will seek to intrude. So when Paul says, be alert. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, for all believers, especially those in our assembly. But when you pray, be alert, because there's an intrusion by the flesh, the world, and Satan. Just simple little things. Do we have to close our eyes when we pray? No, we do not. That is not in the Bible. It doesn't say, now here is the physical way that you pray. You get down on your knees, clasp your hands, and close your eyes. It doesn't say that. But you've got your eyes open, and maybe you're looking down, because that at least is respectful. Well, my shoes need shine. Look at that bug. I'm going to kill that bug, dude. And, you'd be amazed how much you can see while we're praying. And while you're supposed to be praying, that you've never noticed before. I never noticed that on my shoe. I have to get that fixed. Look at that. my shoestring needs, I need new shoestrings. And wait a minute, you're supposed to be praying. So the closing of the eyes is to just get everything out of the way so that you're not distracted. And you got to keep your mind set on the things that you're praying about, or your mind will just take off. You know, God, I think I'm going to pray for that. You know what, I need a new car. You know, this my car right now. And then you're gone. And there goes the whole prayer time. Prayer is serious things, people. Praying with the Father, to the Father. So, and the world and the flesh and Satan. Satan knows this. He knows what will disrupt. I think it used to be one of the great interruptions to prayer was the TV. Now it's the phone. Cell phone. And if you're serious about some serious time in prayer, you leave the phones, TV, everything in another room so that you are not distracted by these things if it's serious stuff. And, you know, if a husband and wife are having a serious conversation, or a boyfriend and girlfriend, or two friends and all, and then, hey, you don't answer the phone, you don't worry about what's on TV, you're talking. Let's get this taken care of. People, you're talking to God. You're talking to God. And you don't glance over to see what's happening on TV. You don't do that. You're talking to God the Father. And so it's time to, if you're more interested in that, then don't talk to God at that time. Get this out of the way if that's more important right now. And I don't say that critically. I'm just saying, set up your priorities. Do I really want to talk to God now, or do I want to watch this? And if you want to watch that, then watch it. If you want to talk to God, talk to God. Is a telephone call that important? More important than talking? Oh, well, God, you'll be here in a minute. Let me get this. Just hold it right there. Let me get this call over here. See? Yeah. I'll be right back. Let me get this phone call. You'll be there. You're not going anywhere. But this call, they may leave. See? They may hang up. So we got to make up our mind what we're dealing with, this prayer. So point four. Pray for all the saints. Pray for believers. This varies as to their circumstances. You may not even know their circumstances. You may, someone at the local assembly, for an example, someone at work, someone in your family, you know, something's going on in their soul. They were heavy today or whatever. And I don't know what's going on, but the Holy Spirit's leading me to just pray for them. And so, Father, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I pray that you will cause them to find out if I can be of any help and this kind of thing. So it becomes very important to pray for all the saints. Various circumstances will grow. Sometimes it's not always bad. Sometimes very happy things. Thank you that this is happening in their life. They're getting married, or the new job, or baby, or whatever it may be. Things going well in their life. And just pray that they will have joy, but not lose sight of the place of the Lord in their life. All right, point five. Prayer must be offered in faith. That is faith in the Holy Spirit, first of all. Faith in God answering that prayer according to His plan, His will, His purpose, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Major point six. Sorry, it's lost down here in point six, but major point six. We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, that means the merit, the authority, as if He Himself were doing the praying. Now, the first time this phrase, in my name, is used in reference to prayer by Jesus Christ is in our context of the upper room discussion. Look at chapter 14 a moment. This is the first time in the Bible that this phrase is used in context of prayer. 14, and we want to look at verses 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name. Now, people, you want to... I don't know if the disciples even caught this. This is a historical revolutionary. They've never done this before. You ask in my name. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, in context, you'll recall, he's there here on earth. And that's what he's referring to. And that's the drama from chapter 14 here. Talk to me, ask me, and this. Then I'm going to be gone. You're going to ask the Father. They will come when you're not going to ask me. You're going to go straight to God the Father. Look at chapter 15, the second time it's used. Chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. So I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Go, that's going into our Christian life, going into spirit-filled life, wherever the Lord takes you, and bear fruit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask, in order that, you want to go and bear fruit in His name, in order that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Okay, so this is the next section of Scripture where this word, this phrase is used in reference to prayer. He's gone now. So we've got in this passage. Then, chapter 16, our current passage, chapter, verse 23 and 24, which we've already looked at. In that day, you will ask me no questions. I won't be here. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in my name. Now, this is the answering of prayer. The asking of prayers in His name, and God the Father will answer prayer in His name. Verse 24, until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask the Father in my name, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. And then verse 26, our current passage, in that day you will ask in my name. People, this is historical impact, historical difference in regard to prayer. Now, point 7. From verse 23, anything that can be rightly asked in His name will be given. Not to deceive you about prayer. The key here is two things. Two things. One, what can be rightly asked. And secondly, what is asked in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make a comment here. We can ask for anything. He's our Heavenly Father. I pray that this day will go well in what I'm getting ready to do, where we're getting ready to go. Pray that you'll take care of my husband, my wife, my parents, my children, my friends, whatever. We can put anything before Him. He may or may not answer that prayer, but we have the privilege of asking that. But if you want to be sure about the answering of prayer, it must be in His name, which means in accordance with His will, bringing glory to Him. And we can sit here and we can say, well, it will bring glory to Christ if He calls my children to be able to go on a school outing and come home safely and all. That would be glorifying to Him. Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know all of the facts. So, first of all here, under point 7, subpoint 1, what can be rightly asked? 2, what is asked in the name of Jesus Christ? Not merely saying the name Jesus. This is not some kind of a genie that this is the magic whereby you get to control God. But remember, that phrase means as if He Himself were asking it. This is why it is so important to be empowered by the Holy Spirit when you pray. You should never forget the words of Jesus Christ Himself. Not my will, but thine be done. Be careful if you use that expression. You better mean it. Jesus Christ prayed that, and they crucified him. Jesus Christ prayed that, and he was arrested, beaten, nails put into his hands and feet, put up on a cross, made fun of, laughed at. So be sure you mean it. Thy will be done. And then if something bad does happen, don't get, well, this is not what I wanted. Hey, be careful. Every now and then I have a little prayer. Whatever it takes to get this person to see the truth of the gospel. And I've had a few times when something really tragic happened in that person's life. Did I pray for that? I don't know. But I know that they did come face to face with the truth of the gospel. I do know that. So, when you pray, prayer is powerful, people. And expect there are good things, bad things, all these things to happen. Don't expect it all to be rosy. Prayer is to make everything wonderful. Well, wonderful is a word determined by what? By God. Not by you and I. So what may be, what we consider good and all of that may not be. So you want to be very careful in your prayers. Point eight, last point here. We can ask anything, anything, no limitation, in His name. Now, if we pray for our will or some other motive, they do not come under this promise of answered prayer. This should not mean that in some cases God will not answer them, for He may go ahead and answer them according to His plan and purpose. Maybe He will, maybe He won't. See? Well, so it's, you want to understand that the prayer has to be according to His plan. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I have fallen in love with Corinth. I have fallen in love with Greece again. I've read multitude of stuff and books and things on Greece and pull a lot of them out and just going through. And I just, one of the greatest things I was telling Kip, his wife's from Greece, that I just had to, I thought we'd have a nice introduction to Greece and Corinth. I'd be here the rest of this year if I did what I wanted to do on just the introduction of 1 Corinthians. Because, I mean, the history of Greece is unbelievable. It's the fifth head of the seven-headed dragon. It's that important. And studying it with Xerxes and the Persian Empire and Esther and all that, and then getting into Rome 1, Rome at the time of Jesus Christ, it is just that. And then all of the things that we can relate to the history of Greece, Aristotle and Helen of Troy, and the whole different things. Remember the 300 Spartans who held off a little pass? And just some movies are made out of sections, little shots of the history of Greece. And I've decided, you know what? I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to spend about maybe 2-3 minutes, which is just an insult. You may not want to bring her. Be an insult on the history of Greece. And all that's there. And then you go to just the history of Corinth. I mean, that is exciting. I can tell you all get excited about it. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times. That's prayer. Three times. That it might depart from me, the thorn in the flesh. Verse 7. And He has said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Okay, here's a man of God, Apostle Paul. He's prayed three times See, three times. And God just said, no, no, no. Not going to do it. And so this is the things we've got to understand about prayer. Okay? Well, I do have a point nine. I didn't know point nine. God answers prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, that he himself might be glorified. Now look at John 14. John 14, verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So he answers prayer that we might be glorified. Okay, let's go back now to John 16, and we go verse 26. John 16, verse 26. In that day, day of Pentecost, the day of sending of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you believers will ask God the Father, inferior to superior, believer to God, in my name, that is come to God in identification. We identified with Jesus Christ as though he himself were asking by his merit, his authority. All right, now, so we have here a precise protocol of prayer given by Jesus Christ to the Father in the name of the Son. Now, later New Testament writing will bring in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, Jude 1:20. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have a pretty good protocol now, an agenda of prayer. It's not legalism. It's the teaching of Jesus Christ. See? You're going to do this right. You're going to pray to God the Father. And in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. And then it says, in that day, you will ask the Father in my name. So this is a protocol of prayer. The role of Jesus Christ in prayer. Now that God has become man, incarnate, and has died and rose again and ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, prayer's changed. Talking to God has changed now. God has come and become a member of the human race, been glorified, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. This changes the whole dynamics of prayer. All prayer addressed to the Father. God the Father is a marked change in history. Never before did they pray to him as Father. They came to him and prayed to him in the Old Testament on the basis that he was God, eternal God, Yahweh, Elohim. And they would pray to him because of their covenant relationship with him. But now, with the incarnation of the Son of God, we pray to God in Jesus' name. Again, John 14, 13 and 14, John 15, 16, John 16, 23, 24 and 26. So this is the protocol, the way that Christ teaches us to pray. Now let's look at the difficult phrase. I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. What's going on here? What does this mean? What is Jesus Christ saying when he throws in that rather difficult saying? Now, Jesus Christ has been teaching about prayer in his name. There are many dangers and erroneous teachings on this phrase, that I do not say that I will ask the Father. So, request the Father on your behalf. And also, on the phrase, in my name. Let me look at a couple of things. One, many try to use this to control God. But I prayed in Jesus' name. That's the magic formula. I got it. I got it. And I prayed in Jesus' name. People, this is not some magical formula. This is not something you get to control God by. Just adding this to your prayer, you're not guaranteed that God is going to answer your prayer. This is not what that phrase means. And again, I want to say, you don't even have to say that. I do, maybe mostly out of habit from a little boy, but it keeps the thought there, right in the front. But if you don't say that, it doesn't mean God isn't going to answer the prayer. And it doesn't mean that it is in Jesus' name. Point two. By adding this phrase, in Jesus' name, does not mean that God is going to answer your prayers. On the other hand, the omission of actually saying these words does not mean that God is not going to answer your prayers. If you think that, you're using it as some kind of a magic formula. It's not what it is. It's a mental relationship. It's a mental concept. Point three. It is so vital to understand what it means to pray in Jesus' name. And now in context, when Jesus says that he is not saying that he will not intercede, but the point here is that the Father loves them and they will pray. They can pray to him. See, that's what, let's look at our phrase. I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. In other words, let me just tell you, and then we're going to take up some points here. What he's saying is this. You don't need me to intercede for you. God loves you. You deal with God straightforward. See? If you understand that, you'll understand verse 27. Look at verse 27. For, and the reason that I do not say that, for the Father himself loves you. You don't need me to intercede. That's what he's saying. You don't need me to intercede. All right, point one. On the phrase, I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. I do not say that. One, they, parentheses, we, have direct intercession with God the Father. We have direct intercession with God the Father because of our relationship in Jesus Christ. Two, therefore, Jesus Christ does not need to intercede on our behalf. He doesn't need to. The Roman Catholic Church is really built on saints interceding for saints. You have to go through some saint. Certainly you go through Mary. And on and on and on. Think about this. Jesus Christ tells us right here, we do not go even through him to the Father. We go straight to the top. How often we get on the phone? I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to the boss. I want to talk to your boss. I want to talk to whoever is in charge of you. I want to talk to the head person. See, we get aggravated with middlemen. I talk to them. I want to talk. Who's in charge here? Just let me talk to whoever's in charge. You want to talk to who's in charge? Go top. Go straight to the Father. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying here, people. See, we pray to God the Father, directly to the Father. We do not pray to Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, will you ask the Father to do this for me? Go straight to the Father. This is not an insult to Jesus Christ, people. This is a glorification and an exaltation of our relationship and with the Father and the Father's relationship with us because we're in His Son. Please understand that. This does not say anything belittling to Jesus Christ. This is talking about you and God the Father. So we do not pray to Jesus Christ and then He in turn goes to the Father on our behalf. See? It doesn't happen that way. We go straight to the Father. Point three. We pray. Talk directly with the Father. In the authority and in the merit of Jesus Christ. And in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is involved. The Holy Spirit's involved. But people in prayer, you go straight to the Father. Do you believe that? Praying to the sovereign, omnipotent God. Creator, well, the author of the creation of all things, we're talking to God. The God of the universe. So, all three members of the Godhead are involved. It is not just between you and the Father. It is not just between you and the Holy Spirit. It is not just between you and the Son. See? All three are involved. Every time we pray, Every time we pray, quick prayer, easy prayer, simple prayer, quick prayer, whatever. Praying to God the Father. And all three members of the God are involved. You want to think about this, not to the point where it becomes burdensome, but think about this when you pray. Every time you think, even thanking Him for food, talking to the Father, and the power of the Spirit and the authority of Jesus Christ, I even have the right to come before you because of my position in Jesus Christ, to even thank you for this food. This is powerful. Prayer, preparation. Remember there are three parts to prayer: prayer, preparation, prayer, and prayer pursuit. Prayer pursuit is living according to your prayer. Prayer preparation, spending a few minutes deciding on how you're going to talk and what are you going to say to Him. Before you pray, you're talking with the sovereign God, your Father, in the name of the Son, the power of the Spirit. So in prayer preparation, in the power of the Spirit, you work through, what do I want to pray here? What exactly do I want to ask? I want to be specific with God. I want to be specific with God. Just lay it out there. And then pray to God the Father in the power of the Spirit and authority of the Son. Point four. Very important point. Thought precedes prayer. Thought precedes prayer. In prayer preparation, think about what you're going to talk with the Father about. Think about in whose power and leading you're talking to the Father. Think about under whose merit, whose authority you are praying to God the Father. Every time we pray, we're involved with all three members of the Godhead. Every time we pray, we're giving glory to God the Father by recognizing Him, by depending on Him, by assuring our relationship with Him, our thanks to Him. But we also recognize the very fact I'm here is because of your Son, because of who and what your Son is. And in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is so unfortunate that the only time some Christians pray is when they're in trouble. They're not thankful to God for even for their food. Just eat and move on. Before I get them in trouble, oh God, yeah, help! God, you got to help me out of this deal. Well, what about all the things I've done for you and you've never said thank you? You don't act like you were cognizant that I'm the source of all your blessings in life. See? You don't even recognize I'm the source of the blessing of your husband, your wife, your children, I want to say children in quotes, some people, and just this and this, your help, just different things, see? And now you come to me and you want help. And I wonder why so many things are going badly. Well, maybe God wants to get your attention. God wants you to pray to Him. You know, Charlie Brown hasn't talked to me lately. I think I'll drop a hammer on his foot. Now, this isn't God, but I'm just using, thank God, sometimes just wants us to pray to Him. Wants us to come to Him. He loves us. He loves us. So, He wants our attention. All right, point five. And I do not say to you, that I will request the Father on your behalf. This does not mean that Jesus Christ will not intercede on our behalf. It's not what He's saying. It does not mean that He will not do that. Again, it means we have direct access to the Father. Verse 27, the Father loves you. We're going to see that the love of the Father toward us is also involved in the privilege of prayer. We'll get to that in verse 27. But this statement does not preclude Jesus Christ from interceding for us. That would be absurd, people. That would be absurd to think that Jesus Christ loves us enough to come and die on a cross for us, sitting at the Father, at the right hand of the Father, building us an eternal home, and doesn't care about what's going on in our daily life. He cares. He loves us too. Certainly he will intercede for us. But he's saying here, I don't have to do that. You got direct access to the Father. We have so much to learn about the Father and about Jesus Christ. We know that he does, in fact, intercede on our behalf. Look at chapter 17, coming up, verse 9 in the prayer. Coming up in verse 9 of the prayer of Jesus Christ. I ask on their behalf. I ask on their behalf. Okay? So he does pray for us. When we sin, Jesus Christ intercedes for us, doesn't he? 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He is our advocate when we sin. And Satan accuses us topside. He intercedes for us. Even when we do not know how to pray or what to pray, Jesus Christ again is there to intercede. Look at Romans chapter 8. I hope I live long enough to get to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 34 of Romans 8. Well, I have one friend in Arkansas just prayed she'd live long enough to make it through chapter 1. And she did. But so let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus? Is he who died? Yes. Rather, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us? So I want you to understand in John 16, he's not saying, I don't do that. What I'm saying to you is, I don't have to do that. You have direct access to God the Father. And by the way, so does the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26 in Romans 8 while we're here. Verse 26, Romans chapter 8. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the Holy Spirit can pray. I don't know how to pray here, Father. I don't know what you want. I want your will. I want your will. I want your glory. But I don't know what to pray here. Jesus Christ intercedes. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Also look at Hebrews chapter 7. The work of what Christ is doing right now. We can give thanks for these things. Give thanks that He intercedes as our advocate. Intercedes in regard to our prayer. Intercedes in giving us provision. Now look at Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. Hebrews 7:25. Hence also, He is able to save forever, eternal security, those who draw near to God through Him, that's by faith, since He always lives, resurrection, to make intercession for them. Isn't that beautiful? He always lives, resurrection, in order that He might make intercession for us. This is powerful. This is the love of Jesus Christ, people. So think about this. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, members of the Godhead, are there to intercede on our behalf. It's comfort to know this. It's comfort in the love of Jesus Christ and the love of the Holy Spirit. All these passages on Jesus Christ interceding on our behalf are not concerned so much with prayer, though. I'll just tell you that right up front. If you study them, they're not really concerned that much with prayer, as it right here. I'm just being honest with the text. You go back and you look at all of those. Not so much concerned with prayer as it is here. That we have right here. The point Jesus Christ is making here is that God the Father loves you. Go straight to Him. Just go talk to Him. I can only imagine in some home situation, you know, kid goes, mom over there, well, why don't you go ask? No, I don't want to ask Dad. You ask Dad. He's your Father. Go ask Him. You talk with Him. He loves you. Well, okay. All right. And humbly walk in there. And, Dad, can I talk to you? Well, what do you want? I'm busy. Well, I need to talk. Okay, what do you want? And he talked to him. He loves you. So this is what we have going on with our relationship with God the Father. Some people try to be so self-righteous about their prayer life. They pray to Jesus. And boy, that makes them so wonderful. I pray to Jesus. Jesus Christ tells us to pray to the Father, people. I'm sorry. It's the protocol. Pray to the Father. Don't be self-righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to get into, I'm a Paul, I'm a Peter. And when you know it, there's going to be that self-righteous group over there. We're of Christ. You know, I'm of Christ. I'm a Paul. I'm of Christ. People, don't be self-righteous. This is our Savior pointing out to us. This is how you pray. Go straight to the Father. Go straight to Him with your prayers. You have access to the Father, fellowship with the Father. Some people, I pray to the Holy Spirit. And boy, that's really going to get spiritual and powerful and all of that type of thing. People, there is nowhere in any of the New Testament writings where it even comes close to praying to the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Now, I'm going to be honest. Can I say prayer is not addressed to the Holy Spirit? No, I cannot. Can you? Can you show a verse that even implies? I can show you direct passages. Prayers to the Father. I can show you that. I can show you prayer not directed to the Son or the Holy Spirit. So, I think we better stay with the way that Jesus Christ has it set up. So why Jesus Christ says He will not intercede for us in our prayers? Because God the Father loves you, and we do not need an intermediary, even as Jesus Christ. Certainly not Mary. Certainly not Mary. That is so blasphemous. You don't need Mary. You don't need a pope. You don't need a bishop. Go straight to Him yourself. So God the Father loves you. You have a relationship with the Father. And so this is regardless of what the Roman Catholic Church teaches and practices and saints, praying to saints, asking saints to pray, patron saint. Sometimes you must pray through some of these saints, and certainly through Mary. You have a priest and saints and patron saints and all this type of thing. People, go straight to the Father is what Jesus Christ is saying. So, this is why He says, I do not intercede for you. It is blasphemous to think you have to go through Mary or through some person. It's blasphemous to God the Father and even to Jesus Christ, because here He teaches us how to pray. Want to know how to pray? You ask how to pray? I've told you. Why do you want to pray to me then? I've told you how to pray. How do you pray? Pray to the Father. Why are you praying to the Holy Spirit? I didn't say pray to the Holy Spirit. I said pray to the Father. In the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. What's so difficult? Why do you want to do it differently than what is laid out by our Savior? I'm emotional. I'm emotional about the Holy Spirit. I'm emotional about Jesus. Now let's stay with what's going on in the truth of our prayer life. So this is what Jesus Christ is setting down in verse 27. You on your own have direct access to the Father. Okay, let's take a look at verse 27. For, all right, here's the reason why He doesn't intercede, why we don't go, Jesus asked the Father, we go straight to the Father, for the Father Himself loves you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Now, here's a personal God. Sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent God. Yet He loves us individually. Now, note first of all that Jesus Christ does not say, and will answer your prayers. This is what love does. I'm talking about the first. Look at the verse. For he himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from the Father. He doesn't add, and therefore will answer your prayers. Why doesn't he do that? Because that's what love does, isn't it? Love sees a need and meets that need. What loving parent? Child comes up with a legitimate request. Mom, Dad, I need $10 for school today. We're going to do this or that. Hey, have it. Get out of here, you bum. No. Okay. I really don't have it. And this happened to me many times. My mother didn't know how to have it. And now that I got older, I understand that. Need $5. Need this, that. Went to her purse and pulled it out. Now, if a human can do this, how much more God? We pray to him. You have not because you ask not. We pray to him. His love will see a need and meet that need. Now, it may not always be the way we see it, but this is the way that love answers our prayers. The Greek text. Well, let's start here next Wednesday night and get it right into verse 27 with the Greek text rather than try to cover a few things and come back next week. So let's close. Any questions? Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Jim, how did you find out you were allergic to iodine, if you don't mind? Okay. Wow. That's interesting. Well, Jim, we'll definitely be in prayer. Thank you for sharing that with us, Anil. I'm sorry? Okay. Well, there's another thing we need to be in prayer about. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage. We thank you for the teaching of Jesus Christ to us in regard to this great privilege of prayer and how history is changing in regard to prayer. Nowhere in the Old Testament did they pray to you as Father. Nowhere in the Old Testament did they pray in Jesus' name. Nowhere did you answer prayer in Jesus' name. So, Father, we consider it a great privilege to come to you as Father, noting our relationship with you because we're in the Son. Pray, Father, you'll take the things we've seen tonight, let them become a reality in our souls and then in our life practice of prayer. Bring us back next week that we can continue this very important study on prayer from the teaching of Jesus Christ himself. And Father, we lay out all of these requests before you, and we'll continue to do so. We pray for our beloved Jim and his test tomorrow. Pray, Father, that our prayer is that it be nothing important. But Father, we just pray that you'll be with Jim, give him peace, comfort, assurance that you're in control, and that you love him. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.